were driving into church, I heard something on the radio, and I thought, man, I never had thought about it this way. But it is so appropriate that this devotion that we heard on the radio today was challenging us to give thanks. And not in the sense of necessarily like we just thank God, yes, we thank others, but to give thanks, meaning that I do things for other people. That, for instance, as those families open up their Thanksgiving basket and they perhaps enjoy a meal that they weren't expecting, they will give thanks. For those kids who open those Christmas presents that would otherwise not have them will be giving thanks. And so how awesome it is to think that we who have the ability to pass on what we already have to others are going to be passing along, in addition to, yes, physical items and food and things like that, but we'll be passing along thanks. And so today I want us to look at reasons why we have to be thankful and then pass those reasons on to others. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to Psalm 95. Psalm 95. I'm going to read through the first seven verses. And I want us to unpack them and kind of look and see what we can find about God and reasons to give thanks. Beginning in verse 1. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. God, just thank you so much for your gift of sharing with us your heart and passing it down through the generations so that we today could read it, know you better, and have reason to give thanks. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. So, reasons to be thankful. Reasons that we should have thanks in our heart. Now, it's an interesting thing that, and I mentioned this a few weeks ago, that as soon as Halloween ended, Christmas began this year. Anyone else have that experience? It began in September for some people. It's interesting. I love how a writer this week in a blog wrote it. She said, the orange and black came down and the green and red went up. And we forgot that in between that there was a moment where we're to pause and give thanks. That stationed between two receiving festivals, because Halloween's all about receiving, getting candy, right? Getting the good stuff. Don't hand out broccoli or celery sticks or the crazy lady that hands out, you know, pennies. We want candy. We want the goods, the sweet. And then we like to skip right to Christmas. And my children have already printed out their list. My daughter, being a little more computer savvy than my son, she's able to Google the image of the item that she wanted, put that with the list. It actually does help. And now, Luke, I love when he gives me a list because it's, like, pretty simple. It's, like, Star Wars, just generic the category, anything, Legos, video games, Nerf guns. I just photocopy it, give it to Amy. That's my list as well. So it makes it a whole lot easier. But we love to get right into Christmas, but I would challenge us today, in this month that we have been kind of reflecting on, we started with the kids at the beginning of the month with gratitude and taking a time out. If you remember that ref blowing his whistle. And sometimes we just need a little time out. And all the hustle and bustle. And we get excited and I love Christmas. And I love all of these festivals. I just want us to take a moment to remember. We need to have gratitude. And then the second week we talked about with the Fusion Youth that came up and we talked and shared about perfection and how we're not perfect, but God is. And he makes us perfect through his son, Jesus Christ. And that is something that we should be forever thankful for. Not just one day every year, but every day. Last week, we talked about forgiveness. If there's one thing that we are in definite need of is forgiveness. It's one thing that God is a master at. And we should be thankful for that. Because otherwise, we would get what we deserve. Eternal punishment. And instead, we get eternal life when we get to be with Christ and we get to share that with others and pass on that forgiveness and we have restoration of family and restoration of relationship. And today, we culminate all of that by saying, give thanks. So we've taken this month to give thanks. What are some of the reasons out of this passage that I want us to see of why we should give thanks? Number one, in verse 3, we see that God is real. It says, for the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. He is the real deal. Now, for those of us in this modern age, we don't think of gods as like little statues. We don't think of gods as like there's a temple down the road that's to the tree or the river god. But we have our own gods, don't we? What are some of the gods that we have today? Well, look at your cell phone. If you were to do a usage study, which there's apps for that, in other words, what do you use the app for most? Would you find yourself that you're using your cell phone for a lot of selfies? Posting your Instagram, tweeting it out, hey, look at me. I've changed my hair. I've combed my hair. I've gotten dressed. I'm going to bed. I'm eating. Look at what I am eating. Look at where I'm at. Look at where I'm at now. 5 seconds have gone by. I'm still here. Maybe you're constantly checking that portfolio. Maybe you're streaming that stock market. Maybe you're constantly opening the checking app and looking and going, okay, I still got money. Yeah, I got money. I need to know. Where did that, oh, somebody spent a dollar. Where did it go? In our own lives, we have these things that we preoccupy ourselves with. And we don't worship them, do we? We don't spend our time, effort, money, resources to do them and focus on them. Do we? Now, I'm not saying that it's bad that we do any of those things. Yes, you should check your checkbook, and it's okay if we check the stock market. And, you know, I've been known to take a picture and put it on Facebook before. But when those activities supersede our relationship with Christ, our relationship with others, we have to start to question those things. Now, I don't remember the exact term, but this week there was a study that came out that medical science is coming out with a new term for a strain in the muscles of your neck that's related to the activity of looking at your screen so long. Now, that's telling me something. Now, I know that they're not all spending that long looking at YouVersion reading their scriptures, kind of like some of you guys in here on Sunday mornings. Candy Crush uses this movement. The U version doesn't. Just going to let you know, I see you. Just turn your volumes down, that's all I ask. We have to realize that God is great. Not like, hey, that pie was great. Or, hey, you made 10 points in the game, that's great. God is great. Open the sky, look at the stars, explore the universe, get on the web and look up Hubble Telescope. And you go to Hubble, and they have a website that takes all of the pictures that they've been taking for the last 15 years and puts them out so that you can explore the universe. And look at some of those pictures and realize the scope and grandeur of the galaxy and the universe. That's the great God that we're talking about. It makes all other things look a little small. We should be thankful that he is real and that he is above all gods. Because number two, he is our king and maker. He is in charge. Verse 6, come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our maker. If God is our maker, that is awesome. Because it means you're not an accident. You have purpose and reason. If there is a God who said, I'm going to take some clay and dirt and make a human being, and that person's going to have children, and down the line, there's going to be you. Is that awesome? I mean, it gives me a whole lot more hope than to think that there was some like primordial ooze that maybe some lightning struck and maybe the bacteria woke up and go, oh, I forgot I was alive. Never realized that before. And that amoeba is swimming around, floating around, and he's like, you know, it'd be a lot easier if I had like an arm. I think I'll grow one next time around. It'd be a lot easier I can get around if I had feet, so I'll grow one the next time around. But we have a God who is a maker, who is in charge. He has purpose and reason and logic behind the things that he does, and that includes you. Something to be thankful for. When he is the king, he is the ruler, and he has responsibility. And I tell you what, there are days that I'm glad that he is God and I am not. Have you ever been to that spot in your life when you said, God, I can do no more. I am totally trusting on you and I'm counting on your authority and responsibility to take over? Maybe it was a sickness. Maybe it was a loss of job. It was a loss of a child. There was a thing in your life that you said, this is beyond me, and I hand it over to you. And in those moments, he comes in and he shows off and he shows you that he is responsible and you can trust him and rely on him and he is far greater than you. And things come together in a way you never would have planned. And maybe not then and maybe not soon, but at some point in your life, you look back and realize that was what had to happen and that was perfect for your life. That's his responsibility, not yours. That gives me thanks. I don't have to control everything. I don't have to be in charge of every situation and every person and everything that goes on in this world. Is that freeing? Is that let us have thanks? For those of us who are type A kind of control freaks, that's kind of hard. I know. For those of you who are kind of the fly by the seat of your pants, you're like, yes. There is some responsibility, just to let you know. You have to get up, take care of yourself. The sluggard does not eat. But God is responsible. God is in charge. He is our maker, our Lord, our King. The third thing I want us to see is that he is secure. He controls the turmoil and the refuge. Verse 1, come let us sing the joy to the Lord. Let us shout to the rock of our salvation. Verse 5, the sea is his, for he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. We have to understand that God is wise and we are not. He is the wise rock that we could build our life on. Jesus told us this in the parable of the the man who built upon the rock and the man who built upon the sand. Many of you may be familiar with it, but in case you're not, Jesus tells a story. It goes like this, that there was a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the winds came, and the storm came, and the waters came, and his house stood. But a foolish man built his house on the sand. The winds came, the water came, and it washed his house away. Jesus concludes that story by saying, those who build their life on my words are wise, like the man who builds it on the rock. If Jesus and God is the rock of the salvation and the rock of our lives, what are we building our lives on? Look at your foundation. If it's built on Jesus Christ, give thanks. If you've been building your life on biblical truth and principles, give thanks. Because you have a lot to be thankful for. As a pastor, I've been called upon a number of times to go to funerals and officiate. Many times in places where I didn't know the family or know the people. But I can almost within a few minutes of talking to the family know if this is a family of believers or non-believers. And it has to do with this very fact. When your life is built on the rock, you know where you stand. And even when the winds come and the rain blows, you stand. But when you don't have that foundation and the death of a loved one comes, you see what it looks like build upon sand. So if your life is built upon the rock, give thanks. If it's not, let me challenge you today to think about giving your life over to Christ and start over again. Get out of the sand that shifts and moves and you're constantly in turmoil. Move to the rock. Because the cool thing is that God, who built the rock, also built the sand and he built the sea. And when he says that he is in charge of the sea and the dry land, what he's telling us is that when you look at the ocean, now if you've ever been out on the ocean, you know that it's not just flat, right? It's not like a pond or a puddle. Even in the deepest ocean, there are movements and waves and turmoil. It is not sitting still. Does your life feel like that sometimes? Constant turmoil. Here's a cool thing. He created it. Verse 5, the sea is his, for he made it. One of my favorite stories of Jesus is when he's in the boat and he's with his disciples. And they're out crossing the sea, and it says that a great storm came, and the disciples were fearful for their life. And you know where Jesus was at? He was asleep. He was asleep. Was he asleep because he didn't care about the disciples? Because that's what they asked him. They're like, do you not know? Do you not care for us? I thought we were your guys. I thought you had this plan for us. You're going to let us drown. Again, one of those moments, if I was Jesus, I'd be like, really, God? These are your guys. You know, I wonder if Jesus looked at him and just would have quoted this verse, the sea is mine, I made it. But just so you know that I mean that, he goes up on the boat, tells the storm to be still, and it does. And he goes back to sleep. Probably shaking his head looking at the guys. Jesus, who made the sea, who made and allowed the turmoil that's in your life right now, whatever it may be, he's in charge of it. It may seem like it's in charge, like it has all power and all authority over your life, but it does not, I promise you. Those of us who have walked long enough with Christ and have been through storms know. There are times when he miraculously steps in and calms the sea. And there are other times when he says, just hang on. It'll be over soon. because he is also the God who formed the dry land, who gives refuge and creates stability. And we give thanks in both situations. We give thanks because we trust him in the problems, and we give thanks because he provided with the provision. But we give thanks all the time. Why? Because number four, so that we can have joy regardless of the situation. Verse 2, sing for joy. Wow. Sing for joy to the Lord. And in verse 4, in his hands are the depths of the earth and the mountains' peaks belong to him. Why does the writer of this psalm write that? Because I believe he's trying to tell us, you sing for joy no matter what. If you're in the depths of the earth, if you're in the lowest of low of your life, he still is in charge. His hands, in his hands are the depths of the earth. You know what else is down there? Symbolically, biblically, death, the grave. What's he telling us? The worst thing you can imagine, the greatest fear you have, the great beyond, it's in his hands. He's got it. You know what else he has? The mountain peaks. Oh, we all turn to God when we're in the valley, don't we? We all turn to him when we're in the middle of the ocean, bobbing up and down. Save me, save me. You know one of the stories that the kids are learning this month, back in the Sunday school classes about gratitude, is the story of the 10 lepers. The story of the 10 lepers was this, if you've never heard it before, that there was 10 men who wanted to get healed. And they come to Christ. They had leprosy. They were forbidden to be around other people. And Christ heals them. 9 of those men go running off. One of them turns to Christ and says, thank you. We always seek God when we're in trouble, but do we seek him when we're in blessing? When we're on that mountaintop, do we give thanks then? Or do we look back at ourselves and say, yep, look what I did to get here. Boy, wasn't I smart when I invested in this? Wasn't I smart when I did that? Boy, wasn't I smart when I fill in the blank? And because of that, I'm here. We're quick to do that. But I believe the writer of Psalms is telling us is that even in the peak, we should give thanks to God. Nowhere else do we see this more clear probably than perhaps in sports. Are we one of those athletes that despite the fact that we may be getting beat and it's in the fourth quarter and we're going to lose the game, that because we made one good play and we actually did our job, that we stand over our fallen foe and beat our chest? Like, look at me. Are we one of those guys that, you know what? Yeah, I scored the touchdown. I scored the basket. I hit the home run. But when that microphone's put in my face, let me tell you, because my faith in Jesus Christ that I'm able to do the things that I do. Some of you have success in life. Don't waste it. We always talk about how God doesn't waste a hurt. It's true. He doesn't waste a blessing either. Some of you, many of you, have financial blessings, family blessings. What are you doing with those? Are you thanking God for them? Are you using them to show others how to thank God? Finally, we want to give thanks because it is eternal. And love is eternal. Verse 7. For he is our God and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. In Corinthians 13, the love chapter, one of the things that's amazing about that chapter is that it talks about all of these different ways that we are expressing God's greatness through prophecy and healing, through faith, through hope, and through love. And at the conclusion of that wonderful passage, it says that all these things will pass away. One day we will need no faith because we will see. We will have no hope because we will be there. And we will have only one thing to continue forever, and that is love. There's nothing else to be thankful for. Be thankful for God's love because He is our caretaker. We are His sheep. Jesus in John chapter 10 says, "I am the great shepherd." I challenge you to read that passage. In that passage, Jesus tells us that we are like little sheep, and He cares for us, and He loves us. He's not like a hired hand that when trouble comes, runs off. No. When trouble comes, He stands His ground, and He protects us. He cares for us. In verse 2, "Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song." One thing else that will not be in heaven: there's no preachers. It's kind of sad for me. But there'll be no need for sermons. Because the extoller and explainer and the living Word of God will be in our presence. We'll have no need for explanation, exhortation. But one thing will remain, because I know, because it's in Revelation, and it says, if we do anything else, we will sing His praises. So I guess we should start practicing our music. Start practicing for that great choir. And I'll tell you, to be honest with you, I'm looking forward to a new body because it hopefully has new vocal cords. Because I make a joyful noise, emphasis on noise, to the Lord. But guys, we have so much to be thankful for. This is one passage, just a handful of scriptures. We have 66 books with thousands of those reasons. In just a moment, I'm going to ask that the musicians come forward as we prepare to have communion. Because this is perhaps one of the greatest things that we have to be thankful for. Is that we have the ability to share with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, because of His death and burial and resurrection. You guys can come up. That's fine. On the night that He was betrayed, the night before His crucifixion, Christ took His disciples into a room and He says, "We're going to have one last meal together. We're going to have this meal of thanks." It was the Passover meal, where the Jews had been celebrating the thanks of the escape from Egypt for thousands of years. And He says, "I'm going to show you there's another meaning to it." And He took the bread and He broke it. And He said, "Tomorrow, this body that you see before you will be broken like this bread. And it's broken for you." He took the cup and He filled it. And He said, "This is like My blood that will be poured out for you, for your forgiveness." Because all the way back to the beginning, from Genesis on, there's no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. And so with these symbols of the bread and the cup, today we remember Christ's sacrifice, the greatest thing that we have to be thankful for. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much. Thank You, God, that You are a God who has purpose and provision. And that through the turmoil, we could trust You. And through the refuge and the blessings, we should turn to You and trust You in those as well. On the night that you were betrayed, you showed them, your disciples, what it meant to be truly thankful. And that is to be obedient. God, help us be obedient to you, your word, your commands. And your command is this: love one another. So today, as we remember through the act of communion, let us remember to love.